I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
Hello guys, welcome back to the Sports Sit Down. It's me, Joe, today. On this week's podcast, we're going to be covering the FA Cup, a little bit on the Premier League and the Championship, touching upon last week's Champions League results, and then Nathan's got a bit on the Six Nations for us as well. How are you doing, Nathan?
All right, Joe, how come you're hosting this week?
Josh is off with altitude sickness because we were so fucking high up that leaderboard last night at the pub quiz, Nathan. Fourth place for the boys,
fair
isn't
enough,
it?
Fair enough.
Nah, he's got the sniffles, so.
Sniffles,
yeah.
Bless him.
Yeah, so we'll have to see how it is without him.
Yeah, two-man job.
Okay, so anyway, we're going to jump straight into the FA Cup. And I think probably the best game to start off with would be Swansea versus Man City. Did you catch the highlights or did you catch
Yeah, I saw the game. Yeah, I think Swansea can definitely consider themselves to be quite hard done by. VAR was like one of the major talking points in the game.
Yet again.
Even though it wasn't even part of the game. Cameron Carter-Vickers, he was judged to have tripped Sterling in the box, which gave City a penalty, which they converted. And then Aguero's winner was offside. So
it was far offside. Exactly. As well. It wasn't even close. Yeah. Like it.
Even Pep Guardiola's come out and said it should be in this stage of the competition.
Was it at the start of the season? Did all of the Premier League's teams vote on whether it should be used? Because I saw something about how Man City said that they'd voted for VAR to be used. I couldn't tell you, but in Premier League matches,
sounds about right. I think
Liverpool may have voted against it.
I'm not sure why it's not been brought in the Premier League this season, to be honest. But I know if in the FA Cup, it's only allowed to be used in Premier League grounds, even though Liberty Stadium, Swansea's ground, is fully equipped to host it.
It was the first one where it was beta tested at. They tested it in 2017 at the Liberty Stadium, ironically. I think, in my opinion, if you're going to have VAR at some, like Wolves versus Man United... You've got to have it at the other games because it's just unfair.
Yeah.
Like especially at this point in the competition, like.
Exactly, we're quarterfinals now. Well, we're now past that. But
semis, yeah.
You've got to have consistency across the board, and I know you could argue. Well, as long as those specific 90 minutes is consistent officiating, then it's fine. But I mean, you can't have two of the quarterfinal games with one set of circumstances and rules and the other two completely different.
Well, in the League Cup, actually, when Man City played Burton in the semi-finals, they used VAR at Burton's ground. But that was because the EFL had said, we can't use VAR at Man City's ground and then not use it for the other leg. So I don't know why that logic hasn't been applied by the FA. How, if they're going to use it at Premier League grounds, why aren't they then proceeding to use it?
Well, this is the thing. It's all sort of, yeah, we all know we're going to get VAR. Next season, Premier League have confirmed we're having it. But it's
Championship, I saw something, possibly the Championship might get it as well.
It's just been drip-fed in this season, though, which really, it's either all got to be there or not at all, in my opinion.
If it isn't the first time, I'm pretty sure Guardiola's come out and said that he's sorry for... A decision which has gone for Man City, which some people have been saying that Man City should allow a replay of the tie. I personally don't think I wouldn't go that far because if VAR weren't in the picture, nobody would have been saying that. But what can you do?
Well, as for Swansea, did you see their second goal?
It was a stunner.
They out-Man City'd Man City, didn't they? I mean, it all started back with the keeper calmly playing it out from the back, you know, passing it forward, Daniel James with explosive pace, darted towards the centre, just gave it off to Dyer, who then fed it into the box for the ex-City player, Berzant Celina, who spectacularly guided it into the top right corner. And this is after, during the week, was it, where he slipped on his arse during the penalty kick and kicked it backwards, but... Yeah, he came up with the goods here in Swansea, really, with good value for 2-0, I thought.
Yeah, they shouldn't be... I think if I was a Swansea player, I'd feel hard done by. I think in the second half, probably City played a lot better than Swansea, but I don't think they've got anything to put their heads down about, to be honest.
Exactly. Yeah, Graham Potter, I think he's doing a really good job at Swansea, all things considered.
Where are they in the Championship at the moment?
It's just below mid-table. But they're playing some good football at times, some really lovely, you know, possession-based football. And Potter's really had his hands tied behind his back this season because the American owners have basically been stripping the club of all its assets. It's really horrible to watch. They've sold so many players for cheap and quick profits. You know, Carl Bartley to West Brom. Mm-hmm. It's divisional rivals they're selling players to. Clucas to Stoke. And even in January, with a bare-bones squad, you know, they were selling veterans, not selling, loaning, sorry, veterans such as Tom Carroll, Jefferson Montero to Villa and West Brom respectively. And I think they've made something like a £40 million profit on players this season and have only spent something like...
Where's it gone?
Exactly, into the owner's pockets, because they've only spent £6 million on players coming in. I think Salina was the most they've spent on one, £3 million. And yeah, they've just got a really sort of bare-bones squad. A few veterans like Routledge and Dyer, but, you know, the general feel of the squad, it's very young, it's very youthful. Not a lot of money.
Yeah. Speaking of Man City, do you think they've been kind of gifted in a way their runs so far in maybe not as much for Champions League, but in the League Cup, in the Carabao Cup, sorry, especially, and kind of in the FA Cup as well. They've not had the hardest of draws. Like, they've not really... In the League Cup, for example, they played one top six Premier League team, and that was Chelsea in the final. Like, do you think they've had an easy run? Fair to say?
As I said on one of the original podcasts, you can only beat what's in front of you. But yeah, I would say, you know, considering Man City are arguably the best team in Europe at this current point, yeah, I think they have had it quite easy compared to some other teams. Obviously, it's the luck of the draw and a cup competition, but... You know, United, who we'll go on to shortly, knocked out by Wolves. Before that, they played Arsenal.
Away at Arsenal, sorry.
And then Chelsea.
Yeah, so they've
had a really tough draw, whereas City, Rotherham,
Newport,
Swansea, obviously, and then...
Burnley.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously, it's not down to Man City who they're playing, but... Yeah, they've had a bit of luck, I think.
Yeah, especially with the draw. Well, as you said there, unless you've got anything else you want to really comment about the Swansea City game, would you say it was kind of a shock result, Man United getting knocked out by Wolves? Because Molineux is a hard place to go, and they have got a very strong record against top six teams. Like, this season alone, they've won four, drew four, and only lost three games against the top six sides in the Premier League, which is a good record.
That is impressive, to be fair, considering
they were in Championship football last year.
I mean, they lost a couple of games back to back in the Prem, home and away to Huddersfield, but they always seem to bring their A game, their best game for these big occasions against top six opposition. They always, you know, you never put it past beating Wolves. It's not an easy day out, definitely. I mean,
well, I remember them last year in the Championship, and they were just leagues above. Like from maybe halfway through the season, it was pretty clear that they were going to either win or kind of similar to how Norwich have been playing recently. But it has surprised me how well they've done in the Premier League this year. Like, is it seventh or eighth for it at the moment?
Yeah, they're there or thereabouts, aren't they?
Obviously, we don't want to go on about Wolves too much because we have given them a lot of credit on this podcast, but you got to give credit where credit's due, aren't you?
Definitely. I mean, obviously, they had brought in some players last season that were definitely Premier League ready. I mean, they brought in Porto's captain, Ruben Neves, you know, a really talented young player. But they've also signed really well this season. I mean, they brought Raul Jimenez in on a loan, and he's been nothing short of incredible, really, this season. You know, his work rate off the ball is impressive. His physical presence is huge, and he holds the ball up like really well, links up very well. He scored 9 goals in 14 games, which is in 2019, that is, which has only been bettered by 8 players across Europe. So, you know, he's definitely a man in form. And then Moutinho, a bargain, as you would like to say.
Bloody bargain.
£5 million £5 million for Moutinho, 32, 33, something like that. He's just like slotted in seamlessly into English football and the Wolves team. He's like the heartbeat of their side now. He just exudes class on the ball, and you know, he was just dominating that midfield.
Yeah. At the weekend. Did you catch the game? Because I personally didn't catch it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you? Because just, I know stats don't say the full story, but Wolves had drastically lower possession than Man United. Did that show in the game?
I think Wolves deserved their win, to be honest. United, probably their worst performance so far under Ollie. Definitely. I mean, they just lacked any sort of movement, creativity and intent up top. I don't know how much of a part that played. Ashley Young wasn't in the side. His leadership has definitely sort of come to the front this season.
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't know whether you think Man United are going to be able to bounce back, because they've had two defeats now in a row, and it's sort of unheard of. The honeymoon period under Ole is maybe over now. I mean, they've got
Watford at home, which I think it's not an easy game by any means. Watford are doing decent as well, similar to Wolves. I think they're around that area, but I reckon Man United can bounce back from it. They're gonna have to, because they've got some tough games coming up in the Premier League or in the Champions League. So
definitely the likes of Barcelona home and away, Champions League. I think they've got City and Chelsea at home soon as well.
Yeah, that follows the second leg of the Barca game. So they're going to... They have City and Chelsea within 4 days of each other. So it's going to be April is going to be a tough month. They've got two Barcelona games and then Man City and Chelsea to end the month.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to kind of bounce back. Because I think the loss against Arsenal can be excused, possibly. But losing to Wolves, if you think that they played really poorly, I imagine they probably did.
It was the midfield, really, for me. Pogba, he's really hit and miss. I don't know what your thoughts on Pogba as a player, but sometimes he's completely unplayable, world-class, you know. And other times, he just looks disinterested and he's just uninfluential on the game. And that was one of those days. I don't know what your thoughts on Pogba are.
I remember, when Ollie first took over, he was, as you said, he was unplayable. He was unstoppable. He just played perfectly. It reminded me kind of how he played quite well in the World Cup, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, very well. Because I remember, because everyone was giving him stick in the Premier League, and when he went to the World Cup and just performed flawlessly. But as you said, yeah, maybe Watford will give him an opportunity to shine again.
The other parts of the midfield as well, I think that might be an area they might want to strengthen in the summer. Matic is getting on a bit. He doesn't screen the back four nowhere near as well as he used to. Herrera is very inconsistent, and I don't think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer really trusts Fred at all. So, you know, when you've got four players like that in your midfield, no consistency, some getting on, some not trusted, you're going to have problems, and maybe come summer they might look to reinforce that sort of area on the pitch.
Going back to a question we asked a couple of weeks ago, do you think that they'll get fourth now? Having seen how they've performed as of late against Arsenal and now Wolves, obviously.
Yeah.
Do you still think they're going to beat the likes of Arsenal and Chelsea to get fourth?
I think Man United are now the favourites, you know, to get top four outside of the top two who are given.
Yeah, yeah. Well, to be fair, I
is that what you're thinking?
Yeah. I would put my money, to be fair, on I'd possibly go Tottenham and Arsenal.
Would you? Yeah. Arsenal?
Arsenal, yeah. I think Arsenal have got the easier run of games, and I know they're a bit hit or miss, but I fear for Man United at the moment that they might be in a bit of a slump. And I reckon if the results in the next couple of league games don't go their way, they're going to struggle when they come against people like City later on in the season.
It's interesting you say Arsenal, because I don't know your thoughts on this, but personally I think their squad is probably the weakest out of all the top six sides. I don't know whether we mentioned this last week on the pod or not, but yeah, I mean, they've got the Lacazette and Aubameyang connection up top.
Yeah.
But the defence is poor. You know, the midfield, there's nothing really exciting going on, and obviously losing Ramsey, Ozil goes missing week in, week out. So, yeah, I think if Unai Emery can get Arsenal to the top four, that would be a really good achievement for them.
Well, Arsenal's toughest game left this season is probably going to be Wolves away in a couple of weeks' time. Other than that, they've not really got as many tough games as some of the other top six. I still think Tottenham are going to finish in the top four. I think they've got it in them. Even with the Champions League, they've obviously got City in that. We'll probably be talking about that in a little bit.
Yeah, perhaps they've gone through their blip now.
Yeah, Chelsea, I think Chelsea are a bit too inconsistent. We'll talk about it later, but losing games in hand to teams like Everton, who after that performance against Newcastle last week, should not have been.
Yeah, right. I agree. I think Chelsea's only route into the Champions League next season is by winning Europa at this point.
Do we want to talk about the Millwall-Brighton game or the Palace?
I think there's something pretty important from that Millwall-Brighton game. I mean, you're the goalkeeping expert. What did you make of Jordan Archer?
I'd have personally punched it away. In the last minute of a cup quarter final like that, and the ball's coming like that, obviously I don't know if he judged it wrong or something, I wouldn't have tried to catch that. I'd have just,
is that what you thought he was trying to do?
I think he was trying to catch it. I can't see a way, but that, because he put his hands up as if he was trying to catch it in his palms, there is no way that was just to pat it away, because if he patted that away, it'd have gone straight to all of the Brighton attacking, like all of the Brighton attacking players, because they had nearly all their players in the box.
Came from a free kick, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just asking for the keeper to do something with it, knock it over the bar, either side, catch it, punch it.
I did have to admit, I did feel sorry for him, because you could see that it he was just devastated.
What must, you know, a goalkeeper's mentality be going into a penalty shootout a blunder like that? Yeah, I did feel sorry for him, definitely, because I thought Millwall, you know, played a really good.
It was David Martin as well, by the way. It wasn't whatever Ryan, like you said.
I thought it was Jordan Archer.
No, David Martin.
You what?
Wait, are you on about the goal of the keeper?
Hmm?
Are you on about the keeper who made a mistake?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was David Martin.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
How sure are you? I swear it was
so
Jordan
sure
Archer.
That BBC's headline is after Millwall's David Archer makes a mistake.
David Archer.
David Martin, sorry.
No idea then. I thought it was Archer personally.
No, it was Martin. I did feel really sorry for him, and as you said, it would wreck a goalkeeper's mentality going into a. I didn't catch the game, so I don't know how aggressive Brighton were in extra time, but I know, speaking of aggression, a certain Millwall player was very aggressive and ended up getting sent off for stamping on. What was his name? I think it was. I can't remember the player who stamped on him, but it was Ferguson for Millwall. And it just looked like pure frustration. It was like 119 minutes in and
just boiling over.
Yeah, I think it was probably just the being slightly pissed off that they had to play an extra half an hour after this goalkeeping error, and he just lashed out at a Brighton player and got straight red for it.
Well, the other FA Cup game, I didn't see it. I don't know whether you did. Watford, Palace.
I think it was the least entertaining, interesting of the games. I think it was just a standard game.
To finish, what was it? 2-1 Watford.
2-1 Watford.
I think Andre Gray came off the bench to get the winner.
Yeah, Palace brought it back, or Watford brought it back. It went back to 1-1, and then Watford pulled through. And then Watford have drawn Wolves in the next round.
Yeah, that's right. Watford and Wolves, and then the City and Brighton. Which
I'd have, if I was this. If I was a City fan, I'd want Brighton personally out of that selection.
True, but I'd agree with that, because
Wolves, in my opinion, would have been the team I probably would have wanted to avoid.
Yeah, I've said it before. Wolves and Watford have been the two outstanding teams outside of top six. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to that game. Yeah, definitely.
Do you want to go into Premier League now, or have you got anything else you want to say about the FA Cup?
No, I think we're done and dusted with that one.
Premier League, there wasn't many games this week because of obviously FA Cup matches and etc. But the biggest talking point, in my opinion, would probably be Everton's performance against Chelsea, your club. Did you watch it?
Right, I didn't see this game actually because I was busy doing something with Adam Westwood.
Oh, Westwood.
Yeah, I was busy with Westwood that afternoon, that evening, so I didn't see the game. But I've heard a lot about it. From what I've read and seen highlights-wise, Chelsea dominated the first half, really. Just didn't have any clinical edge whatsoever. I think dominated possession, dominated shots. And yet again, it was just a lack of, you know, goal scoring in the box. And then second half, I don't know what happened second half, but Everton scored two goals. I don't know how it came
one
about.
One of them, one was a penalty, and he actually missed Sergius. I'm not even going to try. Do you want to try and pronounce the name? Sigurdsson. Yeah.
Nice attempt, Joe.
I know. It's on my computer, it's small. He missed the original penalty. I think Kepa saved it. But he tapped the rebound in. It weren't anything special. It was a good performance from Everton in regards to how they performed last week in the last like 20 minutes of that Newcastle game. Pickford pulled a couple of saves off in the first half to deny Chelsea, and also in the second half. But I think he may have, from an England standpoint, it's probably quite a good thing because he may have regained some of his confidence, which he may have, well, let's face it, he might have needed to lose a little bit of confidence as it was, because against Newcastle he was a bit too confident.
Definitely.
Which is probably good. It probably put him in his place a bit. And now they've beaten Chelsea. I don't know how comfortable it was from a defensive standpoint, because I think that's where Everton have struggled personally in the past couple of months. I mean,
well, I can give you the point of view from a Chelsea standpoint is the fact defensively Everton were without Kurt Zouma because he's a Chelsea player on loan, so their best defender wasn't even playing. Chelsea in the Europa League last week on Thursday, 5-0 against Dynamo Kiev. Yes, given it's Kiev. But they played the likes of Emerson, Christensen, Loftus-Cheek, Hudson-Odoi. So all these young players, the fans want to see, you know, the exciting talents that, you know, can change a game, provide something different. But it was the same sort of lineup you expect from Sarri. I've given him praise a couple of weeks back because he sort of changed it up, mixed it up a bit with 4-2-3-1. On the pitch, it was very more pragmatic, but it's just the same old story.
Does it annoy you when Sarri comes out and says all this? He says the exact, every time his team loses, he says, Premier League can't play Sarri ball. Chelsea can't play Sarri ball. I need the money from the owners. I need this, I need that. It seems like he's just trying to shift the blame.
Yeah.
From his like stale tactics.
Yeah, stale is definitely the word I would use. It just doesn't seem to be working at the minute for Chelsea. Yeah, I mean, when you play Alonso at left back, every Chelsea fan has said it, like how slow he is, how poor he is defensively, but he gets found out time and time again, yet gets gifted the left back jersey every single time, and it's frustrating. Willian as well.
Yeah.
He's just offering nothing really in attack. When you've got an 18-year-old on the bench, Hudson-Odoi, crying out to be starting, he offers something completely different. He takes risks, he takes on players, sort of something you need in the final third against teams that are going to sit back. But no, sorry, he's too stubborn, doesn't change his ways.
He's probably going to get, Hudson-Odoi is probably going to get more play time at England at this rate than he is Chelsea.
Yeah, that's a sad state of affairs, that. Fair play to him though for getting in. Gareth Southgate can clearly see the talent, unfortunately Sarri can't.
Yeah, unfortunately it'll be Everton game as well. Obviously, Ross Barkley was playing and he was playing against the old team. There was another incident of objects being thrown at players. I don't think any made contact with him this time, but Everton have come out and say they're working with the police to try and investigate who did it. It just kind of ruins it, doesn't it? Like, Everton played well, they got the result, but it could be overshadowed a little bit by objects being thrown.
We gave this a good look a couple of weeks back.
With pitch invading, yeah.
But yeah, it's just a reoccurring theme at this point, isn't it? With all sorts of shenanigans.
Yep. What else about in the Premier League was there this week?
Ooh.
From a match standpoint.
So we had West Ham at home against Huddersfield.
Oh, God, that was... I wanted Huddersfield to... That was, I think, that was, I think, is it a sixth of Huddersfield's goals were this season were scored in that one game?
Away from home, I think.
Was it that?
Yeah. It was their first, well, they were 3-1 up at one point, and it was their first away goals since Boxing Day. So they've not scored an away goal in 2019.
I was right. They've scored 18 goals in total. So they've scored about 18% of their total goals were from that game, which is insane.
Yeah, to go 3-1, I've heard people saying it's a stunning comeback from West Ham, Chukwuemeka bailing them out, but 4-3, it's not stunning. To go 3-1 down against Huddersfield at home, you know, the worst team in the Premier League by far, it's just, it's not stunning at all. You shouldn't be conceding 3 goals at home to a team like Huddersfield who just can't seem to score, but they managed to here.
Yeah. Well, I saw a table which had the worst Premier League teams ever on, and I think Huddersfield were third on it. In terms of like seasons,
I know Derby will definitely be top.
Derby was top. I think Sunderland may have been third. Actually, I think Huddersfield might have been fourth, and I think Fulham was sixth from their season this season.
Really? So that's two teams.
Yeah. I can't remember who else it was, but Fulham and Huddersfield were definitely on there. But I think Huddersfield have just, hopefully they'll bounce back next year. Maybe. Do you think it's doing well getting promoted again next season, like coming straight back up?
Well, they could do what Burnley done. If they keep the same, you know, the group of players, add some championship quality in there, try and get some of the players on the bigger wages off the books who aren't performing well. They've got Jan Sula. I don't know if that's how you pronounce his second name. Just call him Jan. They've got him brought in. Same sort of style as Wagner. They clearly have their football philosophy at Huddersfield. They're set up perfectly to go back up next season if they play their cards right, in my opinion.
I think the issue was that when they got promoted from the Championship, they hadn't had an amazing season. They'd had a good season. They'd obviously finished in the playoffs, but in terms of where they finished in the playoffs, it was another case of they had a goal difference of -2. Their defence had kind of let them down in the season. And I'll just come out and say it. I think they got a bit lucky in the playoffs. Didn't they? Did they even score? I don't think...
They didn't.
They didn't. It was just own goals, weren't it?
Yeah, like, yeah. No, you're exactly right with that.
Yeah, so...
And I think they got lucky a bit...
Oh, and then penalties in the final.
I think they got lucky a bit towards the end of last season in the Prem as well.
Don't get me wrong, they knocked Wednesday out of the playoffs, so I'll give them that. Like, that's fine. But, like...
I think it's a case of championship quality team in the Premier League, isn't it?
Yeah. Hopefully we won't see that next season when United inevitably go up.
Inevitably. We'll be getting onto that shortly, but big words there, Joe.
There was Fulham-Liverpool, if you got really anything to mention about that. Last minutes. A late winner from Milner.
I didn't see the game either, but so I can't really comment. But from what I've seen, Liverpool always seem to be picking up the results at this point in time. I mean, they're not blowing teams out of the water like they were last season. Yeah. But
well, they're 2 points above City at the moment, but they have played a game more. Do you still think Man City are going to win it?
Personally, yes. Is that who you're saying?
Yeah, as I've said, I don't. As you were joking about earlier. I don't really care about the Premier League that much, but I would like to see a different team than City win it. But I do think they'll pull through.
Yeah,
I'm not even going to go into why, because we've said it so many times, just about depth and stuff like that.
Definitely, I think
it's above any other team in it, really. Like
that's it exactly. Probably one of the best squads in Europe. I think the only other game from the Premier League.
There was a few more, but they weren't. It was like
one definitely worth mentioning is Burnley 1, Leicester 2.
Oh yeah,
your friend Sheffield's own big slabhead Harry Maguire sent off within about 3 or 4 minutes.
Did you see the incident? Because I didn't personally see it. I know you messaged me saying slabhead's got sent off.
Yeah, I did. I was surprised. Like 3 or 4 minutes into the game, he probably had to go, definitely. And Leicester won 2-1 in the end. So
last minute goal again.
Yeah, Burnley had to play against 10 men for you know,
the entire game.
Yeah, essentially. So sometimes I don't know whether that favours Leicester because they've got nothing to lose at that point. And I thought Brendan Rodgers, he played it very well. He took Damari Gray off, brought Morgan on to solidify the back four again, and then he kept James Maddison on, who is a creative spark for them. Him and Vardy, I thought, played a really good game together.
Yeah.
Did you see Madison's free kick?
No, I didn't. I feel like I've seen it on my notifications, but I haven't seen anything.
Yeah, it was a fantastic free kick from him. One of the outstanding players from the Championship last season. I'm surprised he's not been called up to the England squad, to be honest. Because I've said this a fair few times about a fair few players, but he offers something different to what England have. Just that sort of unorthodox, you know, he's an attacking midfielder that can change the game. I don't think England have many players like that. They've got, you know, Sterling and Sancho, wide sort of, not someone he can pull the strings from the middle.
Going back to the red card, I did just look at it. It was a through on goal and he just tripped him up. So I think he was a bit unlucky maybe because I don't think he properly meant to do it, but still it's a red card.
I wonder what he was doing for 87 minutes. That must have been a long shower in the changing rooms after that.
There was Bournemouth Newcastle as well. 2-2, last minute goal by Newcastle to bring it back.
It reminds me of Richie's. Have you seen Richie's goal from this game?
Shockingly, yet again, I have not.
You definitely need to see this
why
goal.
Why was it good?
Well, it's a weird one because you think this is definitely just getting shanked over, but it sort of defied the laws of physics the way it went into the back of the net. It's just incredible. It's like, if he meant that, fair play.
Shanked.
I thought that was definitely going over or definitely missing, but you know, it was like a sort of optical illusion the way it went in. Bizarre, but brilliant at the same time.
Have you got anything else to mention about the Premier League?
No, I don't.
We could mention the England squad, kind of, to do with the Premier League, obviously. Several players have not stepped down, but pulled out of these next few games against, is it Czech Republic and I want to say Macedonia, but I don't think it is.
I know it's Czech Republic, I couldn't tell you the second one.
It is Montenegro, sorry.
There you go, yeah. Close enough.
Now, what's your opinion on the squad? The squad.
Yes, it's an okay squad. You've got, I think John Stones has had to come out of it.
Yeah,
because of injury.
Yeah, two City players I think have withdrawn.
Hudson-Odoi's come in. Who else has come in?
I'll see if I can find who they replace now.
Have you got a list of the squad?
Yeah, I'll get a list of the squad up now for you if you want.
So we've got Pickford, Heaton.
Yeah.
Who was the other? Who was the third goalie they've got for England?
They have got
Butland, maybe McCarthy. Can't think for the life of me who it is.
Well, unfortunately, it's not Big Dino, is it? Because
he's in England under 21 duty, isn't he?
Yeah.
Pulled up.
Oh God. The squad is Alexander-Arnold, Barkley, Butland. Chilwell, Dele Alli, Delph. I think it might have been Delph who also pulled out with Stones. I think it was two defenders.
Delph has pulled out with Stones. What, kidney stones or pulled out with John Stones?
Dyer, Henderson, Heaton, Kane, Keane, Loftus-Cheek, Maguire, Pickford, Rashford, Declan Rice, Danny Rose, Sancho, Luke Shaw, Sterling, Stones, Tarkowski, Trippier, Walker and Wilson. Solid squad. A lot of similar names to kind of who were at the World Cup, but there's a few new faces in there.
Declan Rice, obviously.
Yeah. Did Sancho go to the World Cup? I don't think he did he?
No, but he's been in a few friendlies since. Mm. I think on the whole, it's a good squad. I'm surprised Barkley's in there, to be honest. I know he plays for Chelsea, a top six team. He doesn't really deliver anything for Chelsea this season. I think I would have preferred to have taken Maddison, but you know, I'm not Southgate.
a lot of people have called Southgate out on the fact that he said he picks his squad based on form. Yeah, he's picked... why can't I remember his name? Because we literally just were talking about it. The Chelsea player, Hudson-Odoi. People aren't denying the fact that he's good and he's a good player, but they're saying that if you're basing it off of form, he's not played barely anything for Chelsea this season. So what are you basing that on?
Another one, Delph. I mean, he's barely played.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like, I think he's like third choice left back now. Something like that at City. He barely plays midfield. When he has done an English shirt, fair play, he has played pretty well. But yeah, there's not too much to complain about, really.
No, it's nice to see that. I saw a stat on Twitter earlier about the best English goalkeepers. Obviously, Dean Henderson for Sheffield United is up there with 17 clean sheets now.
Of course, you're going to be loving that one, aren't
you? Yeah, higher than all of the English goalkeepers who've been put in.
Do you think...
Pickford and Foster combined have got... Foster's not in the team, so it doesn't matter.
Quick question for you here. Do you think Dean Henderson is a future England number one?
Depends if he gets game time at maybe a higher... Maybe if United go up this season, and they might... I don't know... Because he's on loan from Man United at the moment, but he's definitely not going to get into the starting lineup at Man United. Because I think too many people are all over De Gea to allow him to kind of move up like that. I would hope that he signs on it. Sheffield United.
Yeah, if they go up, that'd be ideal for him and the club.
Because he does seem to be loving the fans as well, and the fan every week in week out. You even on TV at the Leeds game, you could hear Dino, Dino, Dino. Over all the Leeds fans, and United only had a couple thousand at Elland Road.
Quick point on the England under-21s squad, which caught my eye, is the fact that Max Aarons, who's been the best right back in the league this season, and Jarrod Bowen, who's scored 21 goals, this stat was courtesy of Hull City's Fraser Campbell on Twitter, and neither of them are in the under-21 squad, along with the likes of Dean Henderson and such, so... Yeah, surprising that two of the Championship's top performers are not getting a look in.
Yeah. So we've done with Premier League for a bit and the England squad. Do you want to go into... We haven't got much on stuff like Six Nations and F1 because we're not as involved with them sports, but do you want to give us a little bit of a recap of what went down in the last couple of games of the Six Nations?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm not going to be able to provide any sort of analysis.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, weekend, Wales 25, Ireland 7, Wales winning the Six Nations and the Grand Slam. It was Warren Gatland's 50th and final Six Nations game in charge, and he became the first coach in the competition's history to win 3 Grand Slams. And now Wales' record-breaking run now stands at 14 games. From what I heard, Gaff Anscombe had a really good game. Alan Wynne-Jones, the captain... I mean, he was getting his name chanted after the game, and you could see how emotional he was after the game, celebrating. Definitely a fan's favourite.
What an England game. Like, England-Scotland, that was a... Obviously, I'm not a rugby fan, but even I can admire a tight game like that, even in rugby.
Yeah, England 31-0 up, went into the second half 31-7, and then somehow it ended up drawing 38-38.
I think Scotland pulled it back and then they went 38-31
and then
at
England,
one point, and then England brought it back from 38-31 to 38-38,
and they celebrated like they'd won the Six Nations.
I know.
I mean, drawing when you're 31-0 up, but yeah, from a neutral perspective, it's unreal, really. I mean, it's by far the best game of the Six Nations this year, and it's definitely one from a neutral perspective for non-rugby fans to like look at and say, this is the sport, this is sort of excitement and entertainment the game can provide.
Yeah. And then in other sporting news, unless you've got any more groundbreaking comments to make about...
groundbreaking, thanks for that, Joe.
any comments to make about whatever topic you were just talking about?
Clearly, loves the Six Nations.
rugby, that was the topic you were on about. Rugby, gosh, it's been a long day. There was the F1, was it last weekend?
This weekend just been, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
oh, weekend, right, yeah. Fair enough.
At the Australian GP, where Valtteri Bottas won, even though his teammate, Lewis Hamilton, went in pole position. But on the first corner of the track, on the first lap, Bottas overtook him, and then since like from that point onwards, there never looked like an opportunity where he could lose, really. In my opinion, I'm not an F1 fan, but I was reading it on the BBC website, and my favourite or funniest thing what happened was Sebastian Vettel, who finished fourth, asked his Ferrari team over the radio halfway through the race, "Why are we so slow? Why are we so slow?" which I found was pretty amusing. Obviously, Nathan found it hilarious.
Love it.
But yeah, love it. But obviously, I'm not a massive F1 fan. I don't know if you are, Nathan. I think Josh will give us much deeper analysis next week when when he's got over the sniffles. Because
no, as he told you, because he's told me before, he used to watch F1 religiously.
Oh, I know. There was a recent documentary on Netflix, I think, about F1.
Was there?
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't know because I'm not really a fan.
I'm not a massive fan, but I saw it recommended. But I know Josh banged on about it so much. Yeah. I saw he'd written a film review as well for the...
Really?
Yeah, I know. I heard a rumour that when he was, I think for his 16th birthday, he asked for, you know the helmet they get?
Oh my God.
He asked for one of them helmets, and then made his own like soapbox. This was when he was 16, by the way.
16.
Real. Yeah.
Wow.
And I heard he used to drive it. You know when all of his mates were like passing the driving test, he'd get his little soapbox out and like drive
wow.
in the park.
I've never heard this story before.
He was just telling me a couple of weeks ago.
I'm surprised he's never mentioned F1 on the podcast. I suppose obviously the season wasn't in play.
Yeah, obviously we can promise you guys Josh is going to provide much more detailed analysis of the F1 season when obviously it's just kicked off now. Sorry for the footballing term. And the standings are that Bottas for Mercedes is on 26, Hamilton 18, Verstappen 15, Vettel 12, and Leclerc 10. Obviously, I may have butchered them names, but the F1 superfan Josh will be here next week to
tell
us more.
Well, not obviously, I'm not a fan of F1 like Josh is, but I think Bottas didn't finish first in a race last season at all. So to do it in his first this season, pretty impressive. Mercedes obviously dominating again, and as you said, with Vettel clearly not happy with the speed of the Ferraris.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're probably just gonna have to wait till Josh comes back to give us a bit of deeper thought and analysis.
Yeah, I'm sure he loves going into detail about it. He does. He loves his F1. He loves going fast. The quicker the better. Do you want to move on to Champions League or Championship? You take a pick, Nathan.
I think we'll end on Championship. So we'll do you want to move?
Should we just quickly, briefly go over the Champions League? Because
But I have got some juicier opinions on Juventus Atletico Madrid.
Do you want to start on that then?
Fair enough. Obviously, well, maybe not obviously, but Juventus won 3-0 against Atletico Madrid.
Yeah.
Ronaldo grabbing the headlines at his ripe old age. Was it 34 years now? 33?
Yeah, but I think Gig said that he reckons that if Ronaldo's got the drive, he can carry on till he's like 40, 41. He can push for it.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, the way he keeps fit, I've never seen, you know, a player with that sort of... Yeah, the drive. Giggs is right with that sort of terminology for Ronaldo. Just always pushes himself, and he's a real athlete in tip-top condition, and he could definitely keep going for quite a few more years. But yeah, obviously he gets the headlines with the hat-trick.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there were some other players definitely caught my eye. Allegri made the decision to start Bernardeschi over Dybala, and that decision really paid off because it was probably his best performance for Juve to date. He played a really good game, especially in the first half. He got an assist, which was a great cross to give Ronaldo his first goal, and then he also won the penalty. Later on, he just looked really lively, and his quality and his work rate really shone through.
Yeah.
I can tell from your years, you've definitely not seen this game, Joe.
No, I did see the highlights. I did skip to the majority of the goals, but it just looked like Atletico got dominated.
Yeah.
Not a shot on target. A significant lack of shots compared to Juventus. I'm not going to lie, I would have rather Madrid go through in this situation.
Really?
But that was just because I'm not a massive Ronaldo fan. And I would have... It would have made it easy, a little bit easier on the English teams. And I'd like an English team to win it this year. I don't really mind who, because I'm not, again, I don't support anyone who's in the Champions League. Not yet, anyway. Just waiting for next season when United are in there. But
yeah, Allegri, one of the best managers in Europe, in my opinion. Every time I watch Juventus, he always seems to be really tactically aware. I mean, I don't know if you saw the game last season against Spurs where he brought Asamoah and Lichtsteiner on as fullbacks around the 60th minute, which allowed Bzagli to revert back to centre-back, his more comfortable position, and then allowed Sandro to play further forward. And, you know, it was a stroke of genius, because minutes later came a really mad three-minute spell where the team turned the tie around with two goals to make it 4-3 on aggregate and beat Spurs, knocking them out.
Yeah.
And here against Atletico Madrid, Allegri really impressed me with his high line that he chose to play. Spinazzola and Cancelo, the fullbacks, were attacking a lot, provide lots of energy down the flanks. And then he brought Dybala on a very, very good time in the game, which, you know, around 60th, 67th minute, something like that. He provided a new threat on the right. Yeah, you know, I just thought it was brilliant from Allegri. Whereas, as you said before about Atletico Madrid, I thought it was very poor from Simeone.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the worst I've seen from Atletico, because the game plan was just all wrong. Of course, you expect them to sort of line up to concede possession, play on the counter, as they always do, but they really offered little to nothing in this game. It was sloppy when they had the ball, but for the most part, they just sat back and defended. They definitely needed a spell, you know, a 15, 20-minute spell in the game where they should have tried to bombard or at least show more impetus attacking Juve, but they really didn't. I think their best chance was Morata heading over from about six or so yards, and Simeone got it completely wrong. And here's a little stat for you: Simeone's Atletico Madrid have been knocked out of the Champions League by Real Madrid every time they've reached the knockout stages, which is four times under Simeone's reign, apart from last week when they were knocked out by Ronaldo.
Again.
Yeah.
I was genuinely trying to remember that. I was trying to find it because I remember I saw it on Twitter. If you really want, we can go on to talk about Man City Schalke. There's probably not much to mention. They got absolute City just... It reminded me, when I saw the highlights, of when they played Burton. It was just constant, like...
Drubbing, bam, bam, wasn't it,
bam,
really?
Yeah. It looked nothing like the game of the first leg where Schalke kept up with them. And if anything, probably deserved a little bit more than... a loss. We probably deserved maybe a draw in the first leg.
You could definitely tell Schalke are battling relegation in the Bundesliga in this game against a powerhouse of European football now, Man City. Definitely by far the better team.
Yeah, there's probably not much to mention, to be honest. It was a lot of people got on the score sheet. Foden, Jesus, Silva, Sterling, Sane, Aguero with two. It's a lot of them have the common names like Aguero, Sterling, but it was nice to see a variety of players on that score sheet.
Did you see, I think, one of the other games this week in the Champions League, Bayern Munich, Liverpool?
I saw, I think, was it Sane's...
Mane.
Mane.
Yeah.
Was it his first or his second where he took a really nice touch, pulled it round Neuer and then just slotted it in?
I couldn't tell you. I only saw parts of this game.
Well, if it was first, second, it was a fantastic goal. Probably, I think it was goal of a week in the Champions League, but it was a strong Liverpool performance, completely outplayed Bayern.
Definitely. Bayern looked absolutely bereft of any ideas in attack. They just seemed to focus their play down the wings with Gnabry and Koeman, aiming to feed Lewandowski in the box, but it just didn't work. It was just... really, you know, entirely uninspiring and negative performance from Bayern. And I think it's a case of the fact that now it's probably one of the worst Bayern teams in the last couple of decades against one of the best Liverpool teams in the last couple of decades.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't really say much for Liverpool apart from the fact they were by far the better team, but for Bayern, definitely a big rebuilding job is going to be needed because their squad's an aging one, which is it's lacking that youthful energy and some creativity and invention. James Rodriguez was a passenger in this game. I know Real Madrid are trying to offload him because he's on loan at Bayern this season and last season, I think he was as well. But it's no wonder why they're after players like Hudson-Odoi, 18-year-old English lad from Chelsea, because they're not producing their any of their own talent from their own youth academy. So they're having to go across seas to other clubs, other countries, and try and poach their young talent.
Yeah, guess how many times Klopp has now faced Bayern as a manager?
I'm going to say 15.
31.
Bloody hell.
And he's only experienced one goalless draw against Bayern.
And that was the prior, the home leg.
I think so. Yeah, that was it. That was the first game. Oh, wow. That's mental. Have you got anything else you really want to say about? I obviously didn't really watch Champions League that much. I just watched the highlights. Have you got anything else you want to say about Bayern and Liverpool?
No. The other game.
Barca-Lyon.
Personally, Lyon. I only saw the first. Lyon. The first, because I was expecting Lyon to sort of give Bayern. Barca. I was hoping for them to sort of give an Ajax-type performance, because one of the most impressive teams I've seen in Europe this season. But early on, Messi scored penalty, which was just a ridiculous Panenka. You know, the ones where they chip it.
I'm not that unexperienced.
You know,
I do know what. I'm not going to try and say it because I've forgotten the word. I've had a late night and I'm tired. So
easy for you to say.
Panenka. What is it?
Yeah, I'm not going to even attempt it now because you've put all different versions into my head. But yeah, the point I was going to get at here is Messi scored two goals and got two assists, and then at the weekend against Betis, he got a hat-trick, and you saw his final goal.
Oh, orgasmic. Orgasmic.
Big words there.
Oof, oof, oh, ho.
Even got like chance of Messi from and round of applause from the Betis fans.
That was just
utter class, weren't it?
How can people honestly say Ronaldo is better than Messi? I don't believe.
That's what I was about to ask you. I was going to say it's one of the most talked about debates in football. But in your opinion, who is better, Ronaldo or Messi?
Messi. I don't think he's better by much. And I think in certain situations, Ronaldo is probably better than Messi. His physicality is definitely more for Ronaldo, but Messi for me any day.
Yeah, I think Messi is the God-given talent.
Yeah.
Ronaldo is probably one of the best strikers, best headers of a ball I think I've ever seen. But Messi.
That's what I mean. He's got the physical build.
Messi is a different breed. By far, the most technically gifted footballer I've ever seen. I think, you know, you said earlier about Ronaldo could keep playing
till he's 40.
Yeah, I think Messi, you know, not necessarily as an attacker, but what's stopping him in like 3 or 4 years dropping deeper into midfield and then just passing his way through people?
I saw something.
Just add something different. He could just become a different type of player. I mean,
Messi's return to Argentina, even though people were saying he was going to retire. From from internationally, because did he retire or was he rumored to be retiring?
He's retired once before, was before this World Cup we've just had.
Yeah, because he's come back to the international team, which I think will be nice because at least Ronaldo's got the Euro 2016 medal under his belt, whereas Messi's not. That is the one part of Messi which he's kind of lacked. He's not really found much success on an international level. Like, have Argentina ever won the, what's called, the American...
Copa America?
Yeah, have they ever won that?
Not a clue.
At least under his belt. I don't think they have.
Well, you got anything else to say on the Champions League?
Other than, I would have liked Lyon to beat Barca, especially after, it was 0-0 in the first game, weren't it? And I didn't think Lyon played that poor in the first game. I thought a draw was probably about deserved. But,
shall I just run through the upcoming games for the next round?
Yeah, sure.
You've got Man City against Spurs.
Oof.
All English affair.
Gonna be at Spurs' new stadium as well.
Is it?
Yeah, it's going to be their second game.
Wow.
Because they wanted to guarantee a Premier League game would be the first, so that's why I think it might be Palace has been
Lucky Palace
has been postponed.
As or in the quiz, as Josh answered for one of the questions,
Drystal Palace.
Put a D instead of C for the answer.
Drystal
there.
Drystal Palace.
Shambles, weren't it?
Shambles. Could have come third. Could have got 15 quid at the bar, but no.
No, he had to finish fourth because of that.
Oh yeah.
No, but
nah, we're joking. He's gonna feel so shocking after that. Oh, who else is playing?
We've got Liverpool Porto. Oh, a really, really
lucky draw for Liverpool.
Yeah, you could say. Tasty one, Man United, Barca. We've mentioned that earlier on, and then Ajax, Juventus, and
I'm hoping Ajax pull through on that. You know.
Well, imagine if.
I'm hoping it's hopeful, but I'm hoping Ajax, Tottenham, Liverpool, and Man United.
Definitely keep Spurs away from any sort of European trophies. Thank you.
I don't want them to do it, but I think they might. I think they might do it. You know, they're playing City back to back in the league and the cup.
Yeah, I think was it three games they've got in the space of like 10 days or something.
Probably, yeah.
But imagine Juventus win the Champions League, Szczesny in goal, and Buffon moved on to PSG in the summer to try and win the Champions League. And imagine if Juventus then went on to win.
God, that'd be awful. Do you think Juventus have the ability to beat City if they were? Because I think City or Tottenham play whoever wins out of Ajax and Juve in it.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah. So do you reckon Juve could beat City if they were the two teams?
Definitely. I think at this stage, to get to the quarterfinals, anyone can beat anyone.
Yeah.
On any given day.
It's Champions League as well. Shake-ups can happen. Do you want to finish on the Championship then? There's not much to talk about, just a couple of...
Well, we know there's a game from the weekend you definitely loved. Because I was getting loads of messages throughout this game from you.
Well, heart was in my mouth the entire time, I'll tell you that, because Leeds played Sheffield United at the weekend. It was 1-0 in the Yorkshire Derby. I thought the easiest and quickest way to sum it up would be where Leeds lacked, United excelled, in the way that United's defence for a second week in a row after playing Brentford with 10 men for nearly two-thirds of the game. United's defence was just so strong yet again, and it's all stemmed from that 8-minute spell at Villa where they just fell apart. After that, they've not conceded a goal since then, and they've not conceded a home goal since Boxing Day in the league.
That's impressive. That
it's now 7 games in a row without a goal, and if it wasn't for that 8-minute spell against Villa, they wouldn't have conceded at all since January.
Really?
They are, hence why Dino's got so many clean sheets under his belt, because like he's kept more clean sheets in the past 2 months than, nearly more than Pickford has, like the entire season.
The way you talk about Dean Henderson, have you just got posters of him all across your walls at
home? He's the only person I follow on Twitter. Like, I just follow Dean Henderson, that's it. He's my banner, he's in my bio, he's like... Yeah,
Dean Henderson Stan account, is it?
Leeds played footballing wise, Leeds played much better. It wasn't the normal United style of playing. United normally out football a lot of their opponents, and you didn't see that today at the weekend. But on Twitter afterwards, they got a bit of stick for it.
Really?
Not off of United fans.
By
Leeds fans saying, "Oh, you got lucky, you didn't play like football." But it shows sometimes playing football doesn't always work. Sometimes you've got to scrap for it.
You've got to be pragmatic.
Yeah, and Leeds had 17 shots with none on target, which is unbelievable.
I think I saw a stat. This might be wrong, but I remember it being something like Sheffield United are the first team this season to prevent Leeds from having a shot on target.
That's probably accurate, but like, to be fair, I don't even... They might have had shots on target, but the amount of United defenders who were literally throwing themselves on top of that ball the second a Leeds player went to shoot.
Fighting for the shirt.
Yeah. Leeds' defenders were making mistakes. Sloppy passes, getting dispossessed quite easily. The only chances United really had in the first half all came from Leeds defence making silly errors, which... could cause spells for him if they were to go up next year, because in Premier League, if you're against teams like Man City or Wolves, even Wolves, if you make a silly mistake like that and a sloppy pass, Premier League strikers are going to jump on it.
It's interesting that you brought up the Villa, the 3-3 draw with Villa, because I remember the podcast we did after that game, and we said about, you know, is this going to be a time where Sheffield United possibly start to falter and heads go down? But that's clearly not happened, has it?
I hate to like big up Dean Henderson even more, but a lot of goalkeepers, after having something like that, where I think two of the goals were very much down to his actions, and losing 2 points in a situation where them 2 points would have been massive. Like, it says something when you can come back and not concede. Granted, this week he didn't have as much to do because Leeds didn't even put a shot on target. But against Brentford midweek, was it midweek?
Yeah, I think it was.
It was. I think it was Tuesday last week. He pulled off some magnificent saves.
What was the score in that one?
2-0. It was another time where, because obviously Medine got sent off early on.
Classic Medine, yeah, that. He loves a sending off, don't he?
Obviously, I didn't go to it, but I live near it, so I could hear it. It was just a constant barrage of, I think Brentford had 29 shots.
Wow.
And, like, nothing was getting through. United defensively have been the strongest team in the league as of late. I don't know if I'd say in all English leagues, because obviously I don't know how they'd fare against Premier League teams, but at the moment, United are looking unstoppable from a defensive standpoint. There is a bit of criticism from an attacking view. They didn't play perfectly, but I think that was just against Leeds. At Leeds at Elland Road, they're constantly pushing you, so you've got to sometimes play a bit of counter-attacking football to kind of get that result. It's worth saying that Leeds were a bit unlucky because they used their third substitute in about the 75th minute, and then about a minute later, one of their defenders, Janssen, injured his knee. They couldn't take him off, and he could barely walk, so they put him up front, and he actually nearly scored the second he went up front.
Really?
It came off a corner, and he caught it off his foot, and it went wide. But that would have been a right story if he'd have done that.
Imagine, no, he played another position, didn't he, towards the end? Because Kika Kassir
got sent off, yeah.
What was he sent off for, do you know?
I think it might have been Leeds corner or something, and nearly all of their team were up. And United cleared it, went straight up to Sharp. Sharp put it round him, and he basically had an open net. So he kind of did what Pickford did last week in the Newcastle game. Except for this time, he actually got sent off for it.
And then Pontus Janssen went in net.
Yeah.
It's always one of my favourite things in football, when an outfield player has to go in net.
Essentially, they had 9 players because of it. Like, they had 10 players for about the last 10 minutes because one of them couldn't move. And then they got a guy sent off. So Leeds were a bit hard done in the end, to be honest with that. I still think the promotion race is all to play for, though. I know me and Josh said that after the Leeds game, you'd have a better understanding on it, but United are only a point ahead and there's 8 games.
I was going to ask you, do you think Sheffield United now, after that win, do you think they're in a prime position for automatics?
They're in a very strong position. It's all in their hands, but it's so early. It's 8 games is still a lot of games, and I wouldn't be surprised if you see Leeds go up. Leeds go second, then United go second. Like, it's hard to say at this point in time. I don't know what the games are like, who've got who, like who's playing who. I don't know if Leeds' run is quite hard compared to United, but I think, unless obviously we can talk about Norwich in a second if you really want, but I think Norwich will win the league, even though they're only, I think, 4 points ahead of United at the moment. They're 4 points ahead of United. Do you think Norwich will do it? Do you think they'll win?
Well, was it last week or the week before where we gave our top 2 predictions? And I think I might have left Norwich out of that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they just keep going from strength to strength. Against Rotherham, there was away at Rotherham this weekend. What's their stadium? Is it stadium the New York City Stadium?
I think it used to have something to do with Pucker Pies, but
really?
But it is the New York City Stadium, yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so they went there. They came out with a 2-1. A 2-1 win, not particularly at their best. I wouldn't even say they were that good. Rotherham definitely gave him a good game, pretty evenly matched. But Kenny McLean with his third goal for Norwich, and then Ben Godfrey, the centre back, scored as well. So yeah, from an Norwich point of view, you can't really complain because they're now 4 points above United, 5 points above Leeds.
Yeah.
So, yeah, going into the last, how many?
Eight
games? Yeah. Going into the last eight games, Norwich are definitely in a good position, but eight games, anything could happen here.
Norwich haven't seen that dip of form, which a lot of teams do in the Championship. To be fair, United haven't really seen a dip in form. Because I thought Leeds were going to win it about maybe in January. They were looking very strong, but then they had
thought that as well.
But then they had them a couple of string of results. I can't remember who they lost against, but they just they kind of lost their mojo.
I've said it once and I'll say it again. Ever since Spygate, Leeds,
yeah,
they've been a poorer team.
Well, United have now got the highest goal difference in the league as well. Just another fact, just to throw out there, just because United. One Sheffield team to talk about, even though I don't really want to talk about it that much, is Wednesday. Do you think, I know you've got a bit of money riding on this, do you think they'll break into the playoffs? Because their form currently is matched with United's, not for defence, not for clean sheets, but in terms of, like, I think that, are they undefeated in the past 10?
Yeah, it's ever since Bruce come in.
Yeah.
They're not far off the playoffs at all. I think
it is so tight at the moment, though, because they're 2 points off of sixth.
I mean, right, which is insane. It'd be an incredible achievement for Wednesday and Bruce if they got top six. At the weekend, they got a 4-2 win at home against Blackburn. Stephen Fletcher become a bit of a goal machine as of late under Bruce.
Not against United.
He's fuming with that.
I think there's three playoff spots. There's two playoff spots available. Basically,
do you think
West Brom are nearly 9 points ahead of Borough. I don't think they're going to choke that.
Which makes the Darren Moore sack and all the more bizarre. But
yeah, again, like, but Middlesbrough or Villa, it's realistically it's between Forest, Wednesday, Bristol, Derby, Preston, and Villa. That is a lot of teams going into the last eight. Granted, Derby, I've got a game in hand on them, and so have Borough. But who do you reckon is going to get into the playoffs?
I definitely think Villa. The other spot, hard to say. Middlesbrough don't score many goals, but also they don't concede many.
Well, Bristol have got two games in hand, so they could easily rock it up into that. And Bristol, they went on a nice little run, didn't they, earlier on in the season?
Definitely, yeah, but eight games, anything could possibly happen in that sort of time.
And then there's obviously the relegation battle. Bolton and Ipswich have basically had their fate signed at this point.
Yeah,
eight games left, and Bolton are 7 points off of safety. It's not looking hopeful, especially when they are possibly facing a 12-point deduction because
and a winding up order. I think I read as well.
Yeah, because they could go into administration because their owner was looking to sell the club, and that deal has gone through. Collapsed. So I don't know what they're going to do. So I hope. They're already going down, but this could be an even worse end to an already very
poor
season.
Bit of a mess off the pitch, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Final thing I think we should end on is something we've not covered yet before on the podcast, League One. And it's nothing analytical or anything. It's just the mental craziness of it. I think four teams get relegated from League One.
They do, yeah.
You've got Bradford, 36 points.
Oh, my God.
Rochdale on 38, Wimbledon on 39. Walsall on 42, that's the bottom four. And then after that, you've got Southend, Oxford, Shrewsbury, Scunthorpe, Gillingham, Accrington, Wickham, Bristol Rovers, and Plymouth. Plymouth in 12th on 45 points. So you could literally go.
All within 3 points of each other.
Could go from the relegation to mid table with a click of a finger. And it's absolute mental, really.
It is mental, isn't it?
I think that's all.
Yeah.
What have we got to say about that?
Next week we'll. I don't know if there's any F1 next week, but whenever the next F1 Grand Prix is, I'm sure we'll have Josh back on to talk about
the F1 expert.
He'll have recovered from his
sniffles
and altitude sickness. But until then, we've hoped you enjoyed and come back next week.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah. In a bit. Bye.